Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, beautiful people. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Welcome. So I have been thinking just a little bit about helping out with our collective calm, with our collective soothe when it comes to managing ourselves right now. With the state of the world, I've received tons and tons of emails and DMs and just energetic reach outs from you guys about the war in Ukraine. It is a timely issue right now when I record this in the second week of March, 2022. And so so that's sort of a good jumping off place. But for whatever reason you find yourself maybe in daily stress or caught up in your cyclical thinking or your fear, we're going to talk a little bit about how to feel better when sometimes there's no way to control anything that's going on around you. And you know, it's interesting because looking back on this podcast and how I've shown up here for the past 2 years, two years, exactly, pretty much this week, since COVID became a global reality. I remember 2 years ago, like two years ago, I got a message from my school, my kids' school, that when they went home that day, they had to bring the entire contents of their locker. And that was the day it became real for me. I believe that was March 13th, March 12th or 13th. So we're right there. We're 2 years in to a time when nearly everyone on the planet was experiencing the same thing, which we've talked about plenty on this podcast, has a little bit of comfort in it, in that the concept of being alone is so completely diluted when we have the understanding that so many across the globe are concerned or struggling or worrying at the same time. It's certainly not something that I cherish or ask for, but you know, I like to find little hints of light within challenging spaces, and that is definitely one of them. And we talked about that a lot during quarantine, during the deepest of quarantine and during COVID, that you know, at the very least, we're in it together. And with this current war in Ukraine, I know that there is such incredible, immense suffering going on in certain parts of the world. And there is collective suffering in many other parts of the world, just at the concept of fear and human, the human toll of what's going on here. So I don't want to be too triggering. I will put it in the show notes that this is something we are going to talk about, but not so specifically. I really want to talk about you and how you can best tap into yourself and do your best to feel better when so many things are so completely out of our human control. So that's really more of the topic today than focusing on any one event that gets us there. So we're going to talk about that. And I'm really going to get right to it. Just briefly, I always need to say, if you're new to my work, if this is one of the first podcasts you've listened to, I have so many resources. Go over to thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab. So much free stuff, so much other stuff that you can purchase in order to further your deepening of this work. And of course, you can come to study with me in a few weeks in North Carolina, Boone, North Carolina, at the Art of Living Retreat Center, April 8th through the 10th, this summer at the Omega Institute, and more things to be announced soon. So just take advantage of this. There's so much you can do to take charge of your healing. One of the greatest messages I always want to send to you is you have much more power than you've ever been told or you've ever realized to affect your physical, emotional, and mental health. And that's something I didn't know when I was a kid. I think sometimes we feel really powerless, and that is definitely not the case. And if you're a listener of this podcast, you know that, because every other week I'm interviewing someone who has completely taken back their life in one form or another. So just be inspired. Be inspired. That's what my gift to all of you, anytime I can give it, is be inspired by my story, by the other stories of the brave people that come here to share them, because you are not alone. You are not alone as a person on this planet in your struggle, and you are certainly not alone as a person suffering with any kind of chronic condition, because so many of us are moving the needle and changing and healing and growing and deepening our relationships with ourselves. And that is available to you, whomever you are. I'm looking at you. So, and I mean that. So, okay. So here we are. Here we are. So I have not yet on this podcast specifically mentioned what's going on in Ukraine, because you know, I wait to feel that it's true readiness for me. And today is that day. I just have received so much heartfelt, I guess, please to talk about this, because people are so worried. And just the very concept of how soft-shelled we are as human beings, how we are so susceptible to not only physical harm, but the emotional vulnerability of what's going on in the world and how we feel about the collective suffering. So I'm just responding to that. I want to be present for that. I want to be whatever voice of comfort I can be in the small way that I can. That let's talk about soothing. Let's talk about self-soothing. Let's talk about soothe factors, which is a Sarno phrase. Let's talk about the concept of radical acceptance and how that brings us to such a space of healing and equilibrium. So let's start with soothe factors. So Dr. Sarno, when I used to work with him, often said, yes, this is about belief. And, you know, he always said, my prescription is knowledge. So it's about belief and knowledge. It's also about doing the work, doing whatever emotional work is essential to excavate this reservoir of repressed rage and shame and sadness and fear and guilt and regret and terror and the pieces of our trauma that we haven't yet looked at. You know, yes, doing the work, yes, the belief and the knowledge. And also something that I've kind of coined, patience and kindness for yourself, but alongside patience and kindness for yourself is what he used to call soothe factors. And soothe factors were like what we can do to counteract all of the difficult stuff, the personality characteristics like perfectionism and goodism and codependency and that strong inner critic and all the things we have to deal with being us. You know, that can be a daily challenge alongside all of the life factors, you know, stuff going on in your family, stuff going on at work, money, of course, worry about global affairs, which we're so deeply in right now. You know, all of these things are challenges. And so soothe factors counterbalance and counteract some of those challenges. And so what are soothe factors? Well, some of them are beautiful and handed to us in ways that we could not possibly expect. You know, your struggling child coming home and saying, oh my God, I actually had a really good day. What a soothe factor that is. You can't control it. You can't even ask for it. It happens though, and it can happen. So I think that alongside maybe finding love or connecting with an old friend or getting a promotion at work or getting a real nice accolade at work that you weren't expecting, soothe factors that take you by surprise, those are really beautiful. And those are ones that I can't say that we should be looking for, because that, you know, the searching can be a source of angst in itself, but let's pay attention. Let's make sure our radar is up for the soothe factors that are always possible in the sort of in the energy space around us. And without being too law of attraction-y, just realizing that the more your radar is up and the more your antennas are open, the more we invite in that kind of stuff to happen to us, the more we bring our best energy to a situation, the more the energy can shift. So just understanding that those are possible, that those are out there for us, even for you, no matter how hard this feels today, wherever you find yourself. So there are those soothe factors, the ones that we weren't expecting, and they are so strikingly beautiful. And every time I get one, which, you know, isn't all that often, but when they come, they can be powerful. I make sure to press the pause button and be in absolute gratitude for that, because that is really, really powerful. And when we're in gratitude for those little things we weren't expecting, the things we weren't expecting begin to grow. And then our energy to bring joy to other people grows, and it all kind of snowballs in the best way. So keep an eye out for that. Those are the magical ones. But what soothe factors can we cultivate? That's really important. Cultivating soothe factors have to do so much with our intentional living. I think so often the brain and the nervous system are so quote unquote comfortable retelling the stories of dread and the stories of fear and the stories of what ifs and the stories of I should, you know, shoulding all over yourself of things that you must do in order to have things be okay. You know, it's just such a basic ego-driven roller coaster that we go over and over. It's almost like when the roller coaster pulls into the station, you just hand the ticket taker your money again and be like, no, I'll just go one more time around. And we do that. And we all know it. I mean, we've all done it at 3 a.m. when you're having a conversation for the fifth time, a challenging conversation perhaps that you have yet to have, or reliving something that you've had, and you're like making it better. You're trying to make it more polished, or it's so crazy how unconscious it can become to fall into those neural pathways that are well tread about conversations and thoughts and thought patterns that are replaying things that are either negative or troublesome or we wish we could fix. And so some soothe factors have to do with just being super conscious about pressing that really hard pause on those conversations. And this is sort of like cognitive behavioral therapy here, you know, pressing the hard pause, envisioning it, and having sort of a basket of available soothe factors that you can draw from in those moments where you get lapsed into an unconscious negative thought pattern. And let's say that is about the war, dreading what could be coming, dreading what might be happening to people you are, your loved ones that might be in some proximity to it. You know, these are really, really tough places to be in. And so, you know, also operating with tremendous self-compassion for yourself that, you know, it's okay that you fall into these difficult thought cycles, but it's also okay. And you are not betraying the collective suffering or your own personal knowledge of suffering to allow yourself to be soothed. I think that's a really important one. We sometimes block ourselves from being soothed because we feel like we're of less service to people who need us, and we're of less worth to ourselves if we aren't actively worrying or offering our concern out there into the ether. And that's not true. It's not true. The more you take care of yourself, the more you have availability and energy to bring what you need to bring to difficult situations. You know, the whole cliche, talk about it all the time, you know, putting on your oxygen mask before you apply to others. It really matters. So, you know, you kind of need to have this imagined basket of soothe factors that are next to your bed or in the passenger seat of your car or in the desk drawer of your office that you can pull out when you find yourself in that ego state of replaying old stories, and also remembering that this is so normal. It's so normal for you to replay this stuff. The brain function of the ego just feels simply more comfortable going back to fear and going back to planning or fear of what might happen if the plan doesn't go the way it needs to go. Like, that is normal. But pressing the pause on it, envisioning that pause button down and saying, okay, so like, what could be in your basket? Something positive that happened this week, something, a connection with a friend, remembering that dinner you went to the other night where you just freaking laughed. Oh my God. I was in the car with my friend the other night and we were coming back from a dinner and a thing that we did. And we just started, we got on a topic and we started laughing. And I'm picturing us at this red traffic light, freaking dying. I love laughing. I know we all love laughing, or hopes we do. But my God, a good belly laugh for me, it's like the most joyful thing. And so that's in my basket. If I'm having a difficult time, or something makes me fearful, or something makes me angsty and sad, I literally go back and I sit in that car with her. And I'm like, that was freaking hilarious. Oh my God, that was so funny. I could start laughing about it right now. That's a soothe factor. These are not difficult things. You know, these are not challenging things. What if you talked on the phone with your sister the other day and you guys just had like a moment where you felt just completely heard? Or you were in the car driving your kid to their after school activity and there was just a moment where they said something that was so smart, or so, you know, showed you that like you're doing an all right job parenting this kid. Soothe factors. These are soothe factors. They're so simple. And those are just the thought ones. And you can just kind of scan the landscape of your life and see if you can pick a few out. And if it's challenging, please don't be hard on yourself. I promise you there is something. And let's say right now you're really struggling in your human relationships and you don't have anything you can draw. Nature is an endless giver of soothe factors and love. I'm obsessed with nature. I'm obsessed with the fact that I can go outside and breathe the air and look at the trees. And I know this sounds like super crunchy granola of me. I'm not really like that. I'm definitely not, you know, one that wants to like throw off my clothes and go camping in the woods. Not necessarily. It has to be like a really nice tent. But I am like that, in that I can really be in the space of nature and know what a constant giver she is. And so if that's a soothe factor that works for you, make sure to do it. Make sure to make time, because even in the times where you can't get out into nature, if you have those very visceral experiences of connection in those natural moments, you can put them in your basket of soothe factors. Like right now, it's chilly. You know, it's not a terrible day, but it's chilly. We're still in winterish conditions in the mid-Atlantic, in the Northeast, and of the United States. And I can picture right now, and so be there, what it feels like to lay on the beach in maybe like an early June, early summer day, where it's like not quite super hot yet, but the sun comes out and it's just sort of like beating on my body and I can feel that warmth. Like I can go there. That's a wonderful soothe factor. And so, you know, these might seem sort of trivial to you, but they work. It works if you can interrupt the thinking, because also what we're always doing here is we're always trying to rewire our neural pathways. We don't want to continue those deep grooves into catastrophic thinking and spaces where we are going to continue to be triggered. And so this kind of cognitive behavioral techniques of pausing and bringing ourselves to that soothe can be really, really powerful. And then there's kind of actionable soothe factors, which I talk about a lot in terms of disrupting the narrative and taking a hot shower or taking a walk or calling a friend or getting on, you know, putting on like a TV show that makes you feel like my daughter calls Friends her comfort show. She's seen Friends, I'm not kidding, 15, 20 times the entire season, which is season, is that right? No, that entire series, the entire series, season after season after season. She's only 14. I don't know how she's even like, you know, fitted in, but it's her comfort show. She just puts it on while she's doing her homework. She puts it on while she's, you know, exercising in her room, whatever. She just puts it on. And I can't even believe she still wants to watch it. It brings her comfort. Don't judge yourself for what your soothe factor is. Just use it. Conscious living is what we're always cultivating here, because conscious living means we are not being ruled by the unconscious processes of our brain and our nervous system, which is what we want. Because unfortunately, those unconscious programming systems will tend toward the negative, and the word negative might be the wrong word, but it's because the nervous system's key function is to keep us alive. And so if keep us alive means let's be scared of everything, let's look out constantly, let's see what could be coming at us, let's see where we could get hurt, let's constantly have that tally going on, well, that does not comport with a fully lived beautiful, awake and alive human life. It comports with stay in your house, stay in your room, look around constantly for what might be coming to get you, and have to repress tons of emotions because our perceptions are so wildly able to conjure stuff that is not ever going to happen to us. I mean, I was talking to a friend last night and we were talking about fear of death, which is a real thing, and I don't want to ever pussyfoot around it. And she was saying that, you know, how can I, she was like talking about the concept of fearing like losing your child or losing someone you love. Like, how do you not live in constant fear of it? And my honest answer was, when my kids were really little, my ex-husband and I were, he was living in another state. And the visitation was when they got old enough to fly alone, when my oldest was old enough to quote unquote supervise the group, which was always a joke to me, but at least they were in an airplane where they couldn't go anywhere. I would put my three kids on an airplane several times a year. And when I first started doing it, I would put them on the airplane. I would watch them walk down that runway gateway thing. I never know the name of that thing. Jetway, right? No. And I would just sob. I would sit in the airport and sob because I couldn't pause at the moment and release myself from that narrative in my mind of what if that plane went down, my whole entire life is over. But it was interesting in terms of desensitization. Any of you psychology people out there, people who think along these lines or have studied it, desensitization therapy, I put myself in those positions so often, I had to, that I started to become surrendered to the feeling. It wasn't so new to me. It wasn't so horrible and striking to my nervous system. It stopped triggering me so much. And in the space of that acceptance, of course, and there never would be acceptance for such a tragedy like that, but certainly there was familiarity, let's say. I came to a space where I'm like, I can press the pause on this. So, I mean, it's not that I didn't have the feeling of dread. It was that I wouldn't let myself go all the way there. So I had to be a hysterical puddle in the airport. I could take a deep breath. I could pause. I could go to a soothe factor, which was, let's not lie about it. I have a week off from my kids. Let me go enjoy myself or do something or be free or, you know, sleep in or whatever it was. Like, I could do that. And that's what I want for you. So, you know, if we're in the midst of a war, if we're in the midst of global pandemic, if we're in the midst of all the incredibly unthinkable challenges, even a minute before they happened, our only human power is to be able to, as best we can, direct the narrative in our own minds. That's what we get. That's it. And so if that's what we get, then we need to cultivate, we need to build this muscle of being able to bring ourselves to those spaces. And, you know, sometimes we come by it honestly, like I had to do in the airport time and again. And sometimes we come by it by listening to a podcast like this and knowing that we have to consciously enact these behaviors. They're not just going to come to us on a silver platter. So there's that. So there's understanding that we get to change course if we consciously know and choose that we get to change course. So the last thing I'll say about this concept of soothe factors is the concept of radical acceptance. So I've spoken about this, I think, on my IGTV series. I don't think I've ever talked about this here. But back in COVID, I went a little nuts with the cycling. I was like obsessed with riding my bike. I just think I needed an outlet. I was losing my mind. We all had the way we handled pandemic/quarantine insanity. And one of the ways I handled mine was I got a new bike, and there's a beautiful bike trail in Rehoboth Beach called the Lewis Breakwater Trail, Junction Breakwater Trail in Lewis and Rehoboth. And I rode it like a flipping maniac. My friend Rachel makes so much fun of me. She's like, oh my God, seeing you on that trail, it was like terrifying. Like, get out of your way. I rode it really fast. And I rode it, and I rode many, many, many miles a day. And so I had a lot of bike thinking time. It was like my a lot of thinking, a lot of good thinking, a lot of good podcasting was born on that bike. And one of the things I remember is I was in the midst of a darker day, and I got on the bike. You know, I was going to like exercise this shit right out of me or whatever I was going to do. And I wasn't feeling better. And I'm like, biking harder and I'm like in it and I just wasn't feeling better. And now I'm judging myself and I'm saying, what's wrong with you? You know, this is your, almost like in a panic, this is your only thing you get right now to feel better, because everything felt so claustrophobic in the family and in the home and with the kids at homeschool and all the things we've all lived through. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, what if I don't ask myself to feel better? What if I don't need to feel better? What if the goal right now is not to feel better? What if the goal is to just say, oh, well, this is how I feel. This is radical acceptance, guys. And this is so powerful when you get there. And I thought, oh, wow, what a concept. I'm allowed to stop trying to feel better. And in doing that, I was free. It was the most incredible transformation. I can tell you exactly where I was. I was going over this really small bridge in this really specific part of the trail. I can picture it like a movie. I can picture the sun coming through the trees. I can picture the chill in the air. I know exactly what I felt like and where I was when I realized, oh, wait, I don't have to try to feel better right now. And in that moment, all the angst and all the fear and all the longing for different drained from my body. And it was like a moment of clarity. It was like an epiphany kind of situation where I just felt total peace. And it didn't last, but it shifted way into that peaceful, like the total blissful, peaced out, you know, thing. That didn't last. It was a moment. But then I really shifted into such a sense of, okay, I don't have to try. I don't have to make myself something other than I am right now. I can access my soothe factors. I can stop the negative narrative. I can breathe the air. I can look around. But there isn't some imperative to change my essential situation right now. I don't have to force it. I can't push the river anyway, which is something that my whole life I've been sort of desperate to do. Push the river, achieve, do. You know, it really doesn't work. It's not the same as being present and doing the next right considered action. It's an anxiety pose. It's not something that brings change. It brings stress. And so I was like, if I don't have to try to feel better right now, all I have to do is be right now. And that changed the energetic space of that moment for me. And that's another thing that you can do. So let's say you're caught up in fear about world affairs or about your own life or about something that's, you know, something stressful that's on the horizon or a challenging conversation. You can say to yourself in that moment, you can pause and you can say, what if I don't need to feel better about this right now? Still have to do it. I still have to do it. You know, this is our life. We're here to live it. But what if I don't have to feel differently about it? What if it just feels hard? And what if my only stance that I need to have right now is, this feels hard right now. This feels like a challenging day. This feels like unpleasant or uncomfortable. Okay. You know, our human desire, our human reflex is so to like have it be done, check the box, turn the page, make it better. And like that is such a space of fear and anxiety. And let's remember that desire to be different than we are is read by the nervous system as fear. And fear is something that the nervous system responds to on a hair trigger by causing us to shut down, you know, tighten up, spasm. Inflame, that is the place, that's the space of fear for the nervous system. But radical acceptance is an opening. Picture an opening of a flower. Picture the opening of your hands. Like picture the difference between clenched hands. I teach this at my retreats when we talk about Kristen Neff's self-compassion work. The concept of the spirit of clenched hands, a spirit of self-loathing and uncompassionate thinking, and then the opening of your hands, the closing of the eyes, the deep breath in the heart center and saying, oh, I see, I'm releasing. And that's what radical acceptance is. So that's like just something to think about it's really done me so right over the years. And okay, another thing, don't judge yourself if it's hard. I forget to do this all the time. I am like definitely in the 23rd minute of, you know, totally wanting something to be different before I realize, oh shit, no, no, no. Pause. Maybe I don't need to feel any differently about this right now. And it doesn't make it perfect. It just makes it better. And that's what we're really talking about today. We're not talking about solving problems. There are problems we most certainly cannot solve. But there are spaces for awakening, for awareness, for opening, and for shifts. And shifts are what we're looking for, because a shift in perspective can bring tremendous relief. And that is available to you. With all the things we're talking about today, a shift in perspective can bring tremendous relief. And I want that for you, because I know how hard this can be, and I know how tight it can feel, and how stressful, and I don't want us to be caught in that 1 minute longer than we need to. And also, I want to have a lot of forgiveness and self-compassion for those moments when we are caught up, and hand to heart, say, it's okay. We're right here. It's all right. Sometimes that's just the way it is. So I hope that was helpful for you today. It was really nice to talk about it. It's helpful for me to remind myself of all those things, because I'm right here in it with you, just as concerned, just as caught up, just as connected to the human condition and my desire for peace and my desire for relief from what feels like endless concerns about one thing or another. So I'm with you. You are not alone. Whomever you are, no matter how hard this is, I promise you, you are not alone. And that is so important to remember as well. With the final soothe factor, the best one that I can give you is, we are all here and we're all doing this. And certainly every single one of you who is willing to take 30 plus minutes of your day and listen to this podcast, you are not alone, because we are all here together with you. All right, my loves. Well, always so great to be with you every single week. And if you're enjoying this podcast, if you could do me the great favor of going over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it, it is so helpful in helping other people find the podcast. And until next week, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. I will see you then. Bye-bye.